This is Dirk Manning. You're listening to Drunk on Comics, and I want to apologize in advance for the fact that my voice sounds like garbage. I know I've been singing this song to everyone that listens, but I'm going to say it again. I am doing 5 shows in 5 weeks. This is number 4. My voice is shot. Regardless of the fact that my voice is so shot, and it is probably grating your cyber eardrums right now, you're ripping the earbuds out of your ears at work, I want to let you know that Drunk on Comics is awesome. But then again, you probably know that too. And comics are awesome. And Drunk on Comics is awesome. And I'm obviously blatantly delirious. And again, you know, your ears are probably bleeding at this point from the scritchy, scratchy voice. But again, this is Dirk Manning, and you are listening to the awesome, awesome Drunk on Comics podcast.
Lost Tales from Drunk on Comics, the interview editions.
Lost Tales? Like DuckTales?
Woo!
Actually, that does kind of tie in a little bit with part of the quote-unquote interview that we did with amongst ourselves.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, talking some cartoons. Hey, guys, it's Derek and Tony here with Drunk on Comics. This is our last round of convention interviews that we have.
For now,
yeah. Yep. In this edition, no particular order, we've got Kalman Andruszowski, primarily cover artist from Marvel.
We have Aaron Ashmore, working on Warehouse 13 right now. He was Jimmy Olsen on Smallville.
Yep. Talked with the guys from DM Comics, and also talked with a really good friend of the show,
Dirk Manning. And yeah, it's always fun to just talk to him.
Yeah. I mean, we've done a couple interviews with him now, and just, you know, great guy. I always like talking to him. We're actually going to be talking to him again here soon because he's got a new upcoming project, which is still secret.
Yes, so hopefully you guys enjoy these.
All right, this is Tony with Drunk on Comics at Motor City Comic Con, and I have the pleasure to interviewing Aaron Ashmore. How you doing, man?
Good, how you doing?
Doing all right. You enjoying the show?
It's been amazing so far. Really busy, really hectic, but that's the way we like it, so it's all good.
All right, so tell some of our listeners a little about yourself. What have you done?
Well, I've done all sorts of stuff. I've been acting since I was about 10 years old, but the big stuff that people know me from is I played Jimmy Olsen on Smallville for 3 seasons. I also play Steve Jinks on Warehouse 13 for the past 2 or 3 years, I guess. And I've done a bunch of other stuff, little horror movies and stuff, but those are kind of the big ones that people know me from.
Okay. Now, doing Warehouse 13, obviously you guys got a lot of props, and one of the things that I think of when it comes to TV shows, at least, have you taken anything home?
No. Unfortunately, the props are beautifully made and, you know, done, so they're very expensive. So as soon as we're done with them, they take them out of our hands and lock them away because, you know, I would love to take some of that stuff home, but it's just it's big bucks to make them, so.
Gotcha. Now, listeners, if you don't know at home, Aaron has a twin brother, Sean.
He's a real jerk.
Yeah. I'm assuming growing up you guys have done the whole switcheroo and...
You know what? We never had to because everybody mixed us up all the time anyway, so it wasn't fun for us to try and fool people because we were just like, you know, people just did it anyway, so we never had to.
So you guys, have you ever, you know, visit your brother on a set or him visit you and kind of mess with the other actors?
Well, we tried it once. Some of the people from when Sean was shooting X-Men 2 in Vancouver, I went to visit. And some of the people thought it would be really funny if I tried to, like, sub in for Sean. He wasn't actually working that day, but he just showed up to set. And I had a little bit shorter hair than Sean at the time. So Bryan Singer turned around and kind of looked at me and did a double take. And he's like, you're not Sean. And I was like, well, that didn't work
you
so
tried,
well. So
yeah.
We tried, but, yeah.
Cool. Now, obviously, you're at the show. Do you do a lot of cons?
I think I've done about half a dozen this year, or maybe 5. So I'm just starting to kind of get into it, but I find it a lot of fun. So I hope to be able to do some more in the next couple of years.
Are you into reading comic books at all?
Yeah, I do. I read a lot of stuff. I really like a lot of the Vertigo stuff. I stopped reading for a while, so then when I went back, I started, you know, Preacher and Sandman, big fan of. I really like Lock and Key. Not so much the superheroes anymore. I sort of, you know, I'll probably get back into that too, but I was reading a little more of the darker stuff, a little more, you know what I mean, that kind of stuff. So, but I have a huge bookshelf. I call it my library, and I've got a little couch back there, and I sit back there and all winter just reading away. So,
Have you ever picked up, Smallville?
No, but I met one of the artists this weekend. He was here, and he said, I've seen your face so many times. He's like, I haven't got to draw you yet because we haven't got to Jimmy in the comic, but he's like, I hope to one day. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
That's cool. You can be immortalized in a comic book.
Absolutely.
Any future projects coming up?
Not right now, just Warehouse 13, and then, you know, back to looking for a job after that. So, okay. You know.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for taking the time for talking with us, and have a good rest of the con.
Thank you. You too.
All right, and we are live at Motor City Comic Con. This is Tony and Matt.
Hello.
And we are with a friend of the show, Dirk Manning. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Sunday fun day.
Yes. Now, last we talked to you was a couple months ago. You are our first ever Skype interview. Thank you for that. We've now learned kind of how to use the internet and start talking to other people. But
The way of the Skype.
Yes, but we always love doing these live recordings and... kind of want to know what's new with you since last we talked.
I think last time we talked, the Right or Wrong book had just come out. Yep. Right or Wrong, A Writer's Guide to Creating Comics. Going really well, really well. I mean, that's been selling like hotcakes. I guess if hotcakes still sell well, that'd be the analogy, but whatever.
I enjoy hotcakes, yeah.
Yeah, you know, hotcakes good. That's probably the big thing. I've been kind of, I've been doing a little convention circuit on that.
Where have you been? And where are you going?
Yeah, well, this is my fourth show in 4 weeks. I'm doing five shows in 5 weeks total. So I've been to C2E2, Fort Wayne, the Appleseed Con. I did Free Comic Book Day down at Pack Rat Comics in Columbus. I'm here in Motor City, Novi right now. Not Novi, like the GPS always says. Funny story about Novi, too. You guys know how Novi was named?
No.
It was a train stop, and it was number six.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. Little trivia. And then next week I'm doing the Cherry City, the Capital...
Cherry City Con
up in Traverse City.
Okay. Now, I know when we talked to you last time, it was right before, and I always forget how to pronounce it, the De La Mortis.
Yeah, Dias de la Mortis.
And you had your story in there, which was phenomenal.
Oh, thank you so much, yeah.
And now, I think, did you have a couple more stories coming out?
I do. Actually, it's going to be in previews in June for September. I did an online series for Shadowline of 22-page one-shots called Love Stories About Death. We're rebranding it Love Stories to Die For. And we're doing a one-shot flipbook. It'll be out in September. It's in previews next month in June with two brand new 22-page stories. You read one, there's like a science fiction story, a spaceship overrun with these like just hideous, just monstrous aliens. There's one escape pod for two people, and there's three people left on the ship.
Oh.
That's one. And you flip it over, and the other story is a medieval story. It's Vikings versus vampires.
That sounds pretty
cool. It's cool, man. It just, you know, two different genre pieces, but we're calling it now Love Stories to Die For. And that'll be a flip book. It's going to be in previews in June, and it'll be out in September.
Sounds awesome. Now, I know we've talked to you or told you, like, you're probably one of the few writers we've ever met because a lot of people that come to these shows are more artists
and
everything. And you said that you're not that great at drawing, but I've seen some pictures that you've drawn. Saw that Cthulhu you drew for that little girl that you posted on Facebook. You got some talent.
The My Little Pony Cthulhu? Yeah.
Yes.
And a friend of mine's daughter, I came up and asked for a sketch in her sketchbook, and I'm like, you're a cute little kid. I mean, I couldn't possibly turn her down, and I didn't know what to do. The picture's on Facebook. But, so I drew a Cthulhu My Little Pony. That was the sketch that followed Kate Cook in her sketchbook, so I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, this awesome Katie Cook, and then there was Dirk Manning, tentacle-faced horse beast.
Hey, it's just like our stick figures, our shitty stick figures.
Now, I've seen the drawing that you just did of Dirk Manning's wardrobe, which is nothing but black shirts and black suits. So don't tell me you can't draw, sir.
Hey, as a writer, we've been reading our more mainstream books.
Mm-hmm.
Time travel has been a huge, I guess, factor in so many of the stories. What are your takes on using time travel for stories?
I'm a big time travel geek. I love time travel stories, things like that. I think there's so much cool stuff to do with them. I don't ever talked about this on the air before. I actually had a time travel story I was going to do in Nightmare World, but ultimately it just didn't really fit in with the scope of the project. I may revisit it one day, like in Love Stories to Die For. It'd be a real good 22-page story. I love time travel, man. It's cool. The ramifications of time travel are interesting because one of two things got to happen. Everything's got to be different, or everything's got to return to normal. Which I don't know. No, duh, Dirk.
Yeah. One or the other.
Yeah, but usually what happens is everything turns back to normal. I know Marvel's got this big Age of Ultron thing going on right now. Which, by the way, I still think the Angela thing's a swerve. I think it's going to be Marvel Man.
Oh, wow. I guess I never even thought of that.
I mean, I could be wrong, and if I'm eating crow, so be it, but...
You're the first to actually even bring that up, which, actually, tell you the truth, could very well be.
I mean, we may see Angela, whatever, so be it. But I think this is the perfect way to deflect all the attention from the fact that, you know, who's the other Neil Gaiman character that they've been talking about bringing back?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Angela, fine, whatever, it's all well and good. But I wouldn't be surprised in the least bit, and I'm actually calling it. Even if we do see Angela, I think the real kicker is going to be Marvel Man.
You heard it here first, folks. And
Dirk Manning also knows how to time travel, so
he can predict. Well, he's been to the future. He knows what happens,
unless it gets changed by the time it happens.
That's true.
In which case, it was going to happen, but now you time traveled, so it changed. So.
Or someone else heard this and goes back and changes it. And if that was you, you son of a bitch.
All right. Well, thanks for taking some time and talking with us, Dirk.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. It's always my pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Can't wait to see you next time.
At the next time.
Yeah, I'll be coming back to Detroit area for Detroit Fan Fair in October. Always a very cool show. They've really gotten their legs under them again. That's real, you know, I saw you guys there last year. That's a great show. But, people can find me on Twitter, on Facebook, at, you know, under Dirk Manning, the guy with the hat, and the all-black wardrobe. Which, again, I'm not looking at in your picture. And, we'll talk soon. Maybe next month or so we can talk in more detail about Love Stories to Die For once I can officially talk about it.
All right, awesome. And thank you, everyone, like I said before, follow him on Facebook. He posts a lot of funny pictures, which we sometimes steal and use as our own. So
hey, it's the internet.
All right, see you guys later.
Thank you.
All right, guys, so this is Tony with Derek, and we are at the bar.
Hey, what's going on, guys? We are here with Kalman Androshofsky.
Hello.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, it's good.
All right. So Kalman is a very well-known cover artist, primarily for Marvel or exclusively for Marvel?
Primarily. Last 2 years, Marvel, yeah.
Yeah. I got to know his work very well because I'm a huge X-23 fan.
You don't shut up about it. Oh, yes, he is.
And Kalman was nice enough to sign a plethora of books for me today. But
so, I was happy to do it.
Yeah. So kind of fill us in a little bit. How'd you get into it? How long you've been doing it? Kind of give our listeners a background if they don't know who you are.
It's been about 10 years plus a little bit here and there. I got my start in gaming art. So doing spot illustration for Dungeons & Dragons, Star Wars role-playing game, a little bit of Vampire. Did a lot of work for something called D20 Modern, which was people who published Dungeons & Dragons and Star Wars, a company called Wizards of the Coast.
Do you roll the dice?
I'm sorry?
Do you roll the dice?
Do I roll the dice?
Are you a gamer?
I did. I did in junior high and high school. Not so much in after that, but a solid grounding in it, for sure. And I definitely remember, as a teenager, looking at those books going, I think it was Bart Sears, flipping through like an old Gamma World module, finding some Bart Sears art, and going, he's doing comics now, but before he did this, I can see this path working for me. This is manageable, it's one drawing at a time, I can do this, and then maybe I'll get there. So that was always sort of in the back of my mind as a path for, like, maybe that's how you start. And so that kind of happened. I did Under the Dragon.
So kind of framed your career path.
Yeah, exactly. And so some people draw a hard line between the industries, but for me, illustration, comics, covers, it's all the same soup.
Now, you're, like I said, you're primarily known as a cover artist, but do you do sequential art on occasion, or, you know?
I have on occasion. Generally, that stuff is for stronger men than I. after a few years of gaming art, I started to get some comics work. The first thing I did was a 10-page fill-in on Olivier Coipel's run on Legion.
Okay.
And from there, DC gave me my own creator-owned book called Eye Candy, which I didn't create. It was created by writers Abnett and Lanny, and I co-created it by designing all the characters.
Okay.
And I thought I could be Josh Middleton and draw and color my own shit on a monthly schedule, and it was a spectacular disaster. And the five people who bought it remember it fondly, but it was six issues and done.
So when you get to when you draw the covers, do you kind of you get to do your own spin on what you do? Like, I know that a lot of whenever I see some covers, it's usually always the heroes dying or like some twist on like something that's kind of in the book, but not.
That is a thing. I mean, it took a few more years for me to actually start doing covers after that, just doing fill-ins and one-offs. But eventually, yeah. Usually, when you start on a gig, the editor is very hands-on. And they give you very specific instructions. And then when you get on a run, like I did with Checkmate or Ion or X-23, they start to trust you after a while. X-23 in particular, written by Marjorie Liu, who I was great friends with because we did NYX together. You were asking about interior work. The other thing other than Eye Candy, my major run on something was I did NYX. Second volume of NYX for Marvel, which Marjorie wrote.
Yeah.
It was her first work at Marvel. It was my first thing at, well, it was my second thing at Marvel, but the first thing that really counted. And we became buddies. So when she got onto X-23, she asked for me to do covers.
And she's a fantastic writer.
She is amazing.
Say. God, she's so good.
And so because I knew her, it wasn't the editor, like and Janine, the editor on X-23, and I had a long relationship already, because before she was at Marvel, she was at DC, and I had worked for her. When I was doing covers for Ion, she was the assistant on that book, and then when she started getting her own book, she hired me for a JLA one-shot, and then when she moved to Marvel, and then, you know, I started working for her there, first with Braveheart's office doing a Captain America short, and then on X-23, so there's already a lot of trust in place. And so after about three or four issues where they were really hands-on, what happened was I could talk to Marjorie about the next arc or the arc after that even. And I'd be like, I'd email Janine and I'd be like, hey, what's next? And she'd be like, I'm really busy right now. I'll get back to you in a week. And then I'd email Marjorie and I'd be like, Marjorie, what's next? And she's like, well, let me call you and I'll tell you the next 6 months of stuff. So then I would email Janine back and go, okay, I talked to Marjorie. So how about this for this arc? I'll do three covers. They'll relate like this and they'll kind of hit these beats. And then for the arc after that, which she hasn't really gotten approved from you yet, but here's what I'm thinking. And Janine would be like, awesome, yes, go. And so because of that, I could actually start getting ahead of the schedule for the first time in my career and actually bring my own ideas to the covers, which was awesome.
This is very fascinating to me. So you were given scripts. You just talked to Marjorie, and she's like, here's the basic story.
When we do covers, we do them so far ahead of time, there are no scripts.
Really?
Because covers have to go in to previews. Right. So things get solicited 3 months before they come out, and the deadline is a month before that. So I'm doing the cover art 4 months before the issue hits the stands.
Wow.
And even with the longer timelines of like 6 weeks, I'm doing the covers before there's a script.
So best case scenario, you know that, like in the X-23, that Jubilee's in this issue or Gambit's in that issue.
Depending on where it is in the arc and what's going on, they may have a fuzzier or a tighter knowledge of what's happening.
Okay.
But usually what happens is every month there's previous deadline and the editor emails all the writers and say, okay guys, it's previous time. Tell me what's going on in issue X, Y, and Z or whatever. And
that
then usually
awesome.
The writers will then send back a blurb or be like, hold on, I don't know yet. Like that.
That is so cool. Like,
and this is completely understandable. Like, the editor on that Friday has to get an issue to press.
Yes.
The cover for the issue 4 months in the future, not as important.
Yeah.
You know?
It makes sense from the industry standard. You know, one of the things, I mean, we're still just fanboys, you know, when it comes down to it, but you know, like this little behind the curtain.
I'm pulling it back. I may get in trouble for this later. But I'm drinking. I plead drinking.
Hey, I drink the fifth of what? Oh, never mind.
So one of the things then with doing the main cover, how do variants come about then? They have someone else that drew something. They're like, oh, we'll throw that as a variant, or...
They have, well, it's hard to comment on for sure, but I think I've done a couple of these. I don't do a lot of variants, but when I do, it's usually a different editor. There's actually sort of a special projects variants editor at Marvel. So whenever they have one of those event variant things where, like, every Marvel comic that month will be, like...
Wolverine,
or everyone's Venom.
Or
yeah.
Last month, everything was Iron Man because of the Iron Man movie.
So there's an editor that handles and commissions those, and that's separate from the actual editors of the book. Okay. So that's one guy who's commissioning all of those, and I guess he makes sure that there's a wide range of artists and matches people up with things. And I've worked with that guy on a couple of things. His name's George. He's a good dude. And so I did like some. They did some NBA crossover one time, and they did a Venom event. So I did a cover for that. So usually it's those, but when it's not an event. Like, I recently did an X-Force variant. I'm not entirely sure how that came about. I don't know who made that decision. It was the regular editor who contacted me, but it was unusual. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. Now, do you read comics, too?
Absolutely.
Okay, what do you read? What do you like?
I buy a lot of comics that I don't actually read.
I have a lot of them that I need to catch up on.
Okay, it's not that, though. I also buy comics that I do read. But the comics that I buy that I don't read, I buy as fuel. I buy whatever looks cool on the shelf on a Wednesday. Whatever will make me want to keep drawing.
Okay.
I'll grab. Awesome. And it's completely divorced from any sort of being invested in the story. Or I don't absorb it as a piece of media the way a normal person would, or the way I would watch a DVD. It's like it's cannibalistic. It's like, this panel's amazing. I will take this home so it will make me draw. I don't care about anything else. Or this cover's amazing. I don't care that this guy doesn't work on this book. I will buy this week. And then, separate from that, there are a few things that I just read normally. So it's sort of two different conversations. But most importantly, it always, like, if I have $5 to spend... It always goes towards fuel before entertainment. But I love Saga. I think Saga's amazing. Oh, God, I love Brian Vaughn and everything he does. And, you know, his work I consume as media. I consume it as a reader. I think about how he's doing what he's doing because I also want to write. But first and foremost, it's entertainment for me.
Well, he's a great writer. Fiona Staples is killing it at art. So, yeah.
I love Hawkeye.
Yes.
You know, David Aja and Matt Fraction. There, you know, occasionally you get this writer-artist pairing that transcends the sum of their parts. Sort of like Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely. Like, when they work with other people, it's okay, it's pretty good. But when they work together, they kind of fill in each other's blank spots and become, like, more. And Aja and Fraction are kind of like that. I like them both on other things. But Hawkeye is something special. It's really amazing.
Well, we tend to ask kind of the same few questions to artists and writers. And since you do read comics, we're going to have to ask. Everybody always wants to know if you could have one superpower. We want to know if you could have two. Combine them together. What do you want?
Have you heard the This American Life episode about this?
Have the what?
Have you heard the This American Life episode about this?
No.
Do you know the radio show? It's NPR radio show, This American Life?
I know it, yeah.
So they have a theme, and there was one from early in the run. The show's going on like 20 years now, so it's in the mid-90s. And there's a guy who asks everybody if they could have a superpower, what would it be? But he only gives them two choices. And they have to choose either flight or invisibility. And he's arrived at these polarities because he feels that more than any other power he could put on the table, these two powers represent different personalities. Like, it's archetypal. Like, they're completely the opposite. Like, if you want to fly, you want to be seen. You want to soar, you want to be public, you don't care who knows. You just want to, like, have a visceral experience, and that doesn't matter. If you're invisible, that's an entirely different kind of conversation. Maybe you don't want people to know what you're up to. You know, maybe you have passions and things that drive you that you'd rather not your friends and family know.
So are you saying you want to be invisible and fly?
I'm not
just fucking with the whole thing.
I'm kind of feeling like the way you framed it, I could really have both those things. Like, I could appeal to my best nature and my worst nature at the same time.
We just think it's fun that because nobody ever goes, hey, combine two.
Right.
You know, everybody's like, what's the one? Combining two, what? It's a tough. It's a tough question. But
well, another favorite one we like to ask: do you have a zombie plan, and what is it?
Now, here's the caveat: if you've got a really good zombie plan and you just don't want people to know because too many people know it doesn't work, that's fine. You can say yes, I'm not going to share. We'll give you that out.
That's entirely fair. I do not have a zombie plan.
So you will be a biter.
I have friends who do.
Yeah.
And I respect, these guys smoke a lot of weed, and they spend a lot of time discussing and arguing about their zombie plan. I don't know, man, I got pages to draw and shit. Like,
yeah, see, I'm not big into exercise as, you know, we're an audio podcast, but our listeners, I think, can hear that I'm fat. But, but the only reason I would ever exercise would be to train for the zombie apocalypse.
Sure.
I'm not going to do it for any other
reason.
That
is the best plan, right? A lot of cardio.
Yeah.
Zombie marathon.
A lot of upper body strength so you can climb, maybe parkour.
Yeah, like, well, a little parkour.
No zombie scaling no wall.
A lot
unless
of swinging.
It's that World War
Z
shit.
A lot of swinging because I'm going to have crowbars and axes right. And whatever. But, all right, so last nerd question.
Okay.
If you could kill any one major superhero forever, like not comic book dead, real dead, like Uncle Ben dead.
Can I subvert this question a little?
Sure.
Can it be just someone from comics?
Sure.
Because I actually, this is a sort of like the equivalent of a zombie plan. There's a lot of stories about people, superheroes or whatever, that go back in time and are given the chance to kill Hitler. That's an it's as old as the mountains, right? Like Nick Fury, Captain America. Garth Ennis did it with the Midnighter. Like, everybody's done a version of that. You go back in time and kill Hitler, and then, it doesn't work out how you planned it.
Yeah.
Oh, the consequences, oh no. Or, like, in the Midnighter story, he goes back to World War I and encounters young Hitler in the trenches in World War I. And it's like, oh, but he's not that guy yet. What do I do? So that was a bit of a twist. I would go back in time and kill Frederick Wortham before he could publish Seduction of the Innocent. And I'm convinced we would have a completely different comic book industry now. We would have diversity in genre. We would have adult readers 30 years before we got them. We would have comics appreciated as an art form. We wouldn't have this weird like break in the evolution. Like, we would be like Japan but ahead.
Yeah.
Because like Japanese manga is like future comics. They've had an unbroken lineage from, like, kid stuff through the influence of animation, through the influence of other cultures, and there was never a point where it suddenly got infantilized or suddenly got, like, set back 20 years by any sort of government or cultural interference. So they have, like, three or five ways to show motion, where we in North America still only have one. You know, they have all these technical sort of tricks that they've developed because their comics have been read by adults and people in all stratums of society for 30 years, right? Like, businessmen read manga on the subway in the 70s.
Yes.
It was just normal. It wasn't embarrassing. It wasn't childish. It was just a thing people did. Like, if we could have had that, I feel like killing that one man before he published that book could have made that possible.
You just got really deep on that simple question, man. Thanks for... That zenness.
Yeah, that is the booze bringing out the inner nerd to make us all better.
Awesome, man. I'll take that.
So, well, hey, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being here at Motor City.
It was a pleasure.
You know, appreciate it. By the way, do you have any current projects you're working on or anything that you want to tell our listeners about?
What am I doing? I have an Avengers Arena cover coming out soon.
Awesome.
I'm also working on, I don't know if you guys get it down here. There's a well-loved Canadian superhero called Captain Canuck.
Yes, we are familiar with Captain Canuck.
I know he trickled down into some the northern Midwest in places.
I forgot. I did see something about a month back-ish that you redesigned the character. Is that it?
Right. So Captain Canuck, we're bringing it back as an animated web series. And then later this year, early next year, we're going to be launching a comic book series. There's a third step beyond that, but I won't get into that too much. Right now, we're just in production on the early part of the web series. We're funding it through Indiegogo.
Okay.
If you go to CaptainCanuck.com or go to Indiegogo and search for Captain Canuck, there's still 2 weeks left in the fundraising campaign. We've got awesome perks. You can be in the web series. You can get posters and art and all sorts of merchandise for your contribution. You can help us bring this loved hero back and make him awesome.
I really wish Kevin was here because back on Free Comic Book Day, we went to four different stores in our area. And, you know, we love digging through the quarter bins and dollar bins. And he finds a Captain Canuck comic.
Awesome.
Until he gets home and finds out it's not a comic. It's a diorama.
What?
Yes.
I don't know anything about this.
It's a Captain Canuck diorama. So
it looks like a comic and it's just two pages.
Yeah, well, it was in a backing board and bag, and it's a diorama with Captain Canuck in it.
Okay, you have to take a photo of that and like Twitter it at me or something.
Absolutely.
I have to see that. That sounds amazing.
So, all right. So, if our listeners want to follow you, they can find you on Twitter.
Yep, I'm Evil Kelman on Twitter. I'm Evil Kelman on Instagram. I post a lot of process stuff on Instagram. My own website is www.imkelman.com.
And it's Kelman with a K.
Kelman with a K, K-A-L-M-A-N.
Yep. So, all right. Thank you again so much.
Thanks, dude. It was a pleasure.
And, we got a couple more days of this fun. So,
nice.
Let's all right, guys. Have some beers.
Let's all drink.
Cheers.
L'chaim.
See ya.
Awesome.
All right, guys. We are still at the after party.
We are definitely drunk on comics, or just drunk.
Is this now officially the after party?
Yes.
Well,
so, after the after party.
Oh, and hear the flask opening. There we go. All right, we're here with guys from DM Comics. Go ahead and introduce yourselves, guys.
How you doing? I'm Chad Kovac.
I'm Brian Schopp.
And I'm Rob K.
All right, so tell us about DM Comics. What? Give us the lowdown.
Hey, we are Decayed Minds, man. We do three book series. We do American Bloodlust, which is our superhero series. We do American Bloodlust, which is our horror series.
Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Scratch that. Okay. We do True Power, which is our superhero series. We do American Bloodlust, which is our horror series. And we do Ramen, which is our comedy series. We have three different things. A little something for everybody.
Nice.
Ramen?
Ramen.
Yes.
Yeah, Ramen.
Like the noodles?
Like
yes.
The noodles.
Yeah, like noodles.
And it's spelled the same way. I went walking by it. I keep walking by going, what the fuck is ramen?
Well, it's basically about two dudes that are like, a couple of wayfish malnourished fellas that live down in Ann Arbor. Can you believe that?
And, and I'm guessing they might smoke weed.
No, actually, I don't do that with them because I just in case little kids are reading it, I don't like to promote drug use or something like that.
Okay.
However,
they get so wasted they don't know where the hell they're at.
No. Let me clear that up. They accidentally take someone's dementia medication and think that it's aspirin, and then they wake up in Indiana in the back of a truck full of hay, and they have no idea where they are.
Nice.
They're like, is this Mexico?
Well, the truck was Mexican.
Yeah. Okay. So now, what do you guys do, like, individually on the books?
Well, I'm the writer, creator on every book besides Ramen.
That would be Chad.
That, you know, I'm Chad, and we do the superhero series, which is True Power, and that is based way in the future, 5912, about after the destruction of man and the creation and creating the humanity again of man, and then a dark power comes across Earth, and what they do is basically it's destruction. It's up to one man to bring justice back to the world.
Save humanity.
Save humanity.
Again. Okay.
And then American Bloodlust, which is another series that me and Rob here do.
I draw and it and ink it.
It's a biker series. That it's a horror series, biker. It goes on the lines of, Grindhouse and Pulp Fiction. And basically it's a bunch of guys that's kind of reincarnated from the old 30s bikers that literally... They come back to take out the wannabe bikers, you know, the weekend warriors, everything else.
All the people who don the leather, and then they hop on their bikes, and they're like, here, now that I've shined it all up, I'm going to go out for the weekend. Well, these guys are like, fuck that, we're not having that anymore.
We're not having it anymore.
And the best way to not leave any evidence is to eat the evidence, right?
Yeah, eat it. You know, they're cannibals.
There you go.
They do it.
Cannibal
biker.
I've always said I love kids, but I can never finish a whole one.
But these guys here, bring back the namesake of the biker. You know, you guys are a bunch of wannabes. You're doctors, you're you know, you work for, you know, million-dollar guys that turn around and they think they're, well, we're going to go out on the weekend, dress up as leather guys and be badasses, but we want to kill them off.
Nice. Now, Brian, what's your part in all this?
I am the co-creator and writer for True Power, okay. And I'm also the artist for the book.
Okay. No. Now, how'd you guys come together?
I've known Brian for many years. I mean, over 20 years, and me and this guy's been going.
You guys only look like you're 21.
Well, I'll be 32 this year, so hey, we're getting older, you know.
What he means to say is thank you.
But, you know, we're comic book collectors. We're all about the fans. We're all about creating something that is a genre that we love, you know, and that's what we did. We created the superhero series, True Power. And then this guy right here, Rob.
Yeah, this is
audio. They can't see pointing. They can't see pointing, but hi, I'm the guy with the dreadlocks.
And, you know, we worked at a plastic factory, and he really liked some ideas. I did some script writing and do some movies, zombie films and different stuff like that. Well, he liked to select a few of the characters in that series. And he turned around and says, let me do something. Let me draw something. Let me write something. And then, you know what? After a while, he did an idea. He did some drawing. I'd say, no, we got to do something way bigger than this. Way bigger than this. Way bigger idea.
And then about, like, a year or so went by where we just kept hashing the idea out. And then 5 years later, we're at the Comic-Con putting out American Bloodlust 1. And now we've done, this is about our fifth Comic-Con here at the Motor City
Comic-Con. It's our fifth Comic-Con out here at Motor City. Okay.
And we just finished the series.
We got all five
of the first series done because we want to do, like, a 12 series
of five books each.
Okay.
And you're done with five books for all three of them then? Or?
Just American Bloodlust.
American
Bloodlust, we're on issue five. We finally finished that first series.
First arc.
Of 12 series that we're doing.
Okay.
And then Ramen is a series. On issue four right now. It's an ongoing series. True Power is another ongoing series that we're doing right now, but it's an arc of three issues right now, and then we're going to continue into a six-issue arc that's going to broaden the story that what we're doing right now in the third.
Is there anything that you guys got planned besides these three that you might come
out of? Well, actually, yeah, we got some ideas. We've got some building. We're going to do some independent stuff. We're going to do some, like, independent, like, you know, like, collaborations, like Tales from the Crypt. We got some ideas for that. And then actually, we met a few cool people this year. We're doing some H.P. Lovecraft stuff. There's some guys that are coming in, and they're going to be doing some. They're talking about doing some 50 books, but everything that's titled to H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah. Wow.
And then now, actually we're working on that. And then we're also working into doing some action figures. Some for our superhero series, for our biker series,
We've got a buyer for you right here with Tell.
I love toys.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And actually, I'm partway through doing the first of a three-issue series that I'm going to do that's called Slaves to the Industry, which is I'm going to release them as separate books at first, like three separate issues, and then I'm going to release a hardbound copy. And that's going to come with a CD, and actually all the words in this comic book are the libretto for the CD.
Wow.
All the lyrics. Now, this is an album I did, like, years ago, but okay. I'm refining it and doing it again, and it's going to be nice and clean and cut out good, so that when you buy all three of these books, you can actually read the book and you're reading the lyrics at the same time, so you can listen to the album while you
check it out. So it's kind of like actually having liner notes again.
Yeah, exactly.
Just really good-looking ones.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Nobody puts the effort into the CD anymore, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to approach it from a different angle. I'm going to put out a book, and oh, by the way, there's a CD with it.
That's an awesome idea.
Yeah. So you guys
I'm sorry. No, Brian, what about you?
I was just going to say that as an small independent company that we are, we try to reach everybody that are fans. Like, we have the superpower, you know, comic book. We have the horror book, and we have the comedy book.
Yeah.
And we're even trying to touch the people that are involved with music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we try to appeal to everybody.
Speaking of trying to reach everybody, where can our listeners find you guys?
Well, right now, we have a website that we're building. We're doing actual stores. We're trying to build the store idea and start selling it out.
Long messed up thing.
We're doing a few books. We're doing a few books. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Volta Midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Ann Arbor.
On Main Street.
Yeah,
right?
They're actually selling our books right now. Green Brain Comics, actually, Jeff Johns from DC Comic Books referred us.
Really?
Wow. To Green Brain Comic Books. We are starting to do that. We're doing a lot more shows. I mean, even though we were only doing Motor City Comic Con, we're doing Fan Fair. We're going to be doing Grand Rapids this year.
Which one? There's Grand Rapids Comic Con and Grand Con.
Grand Con. We're doing Grand Con.
Awesome. We're going to be there.
Yep. We're going to be doing Grand Con.
We'll see you again, and maybe we can do another after party.
We're also in works right now. I'm personally talking with a lot of the guys. We're going to be probably doing C2E2 in Chicago next year, and we're talking doing New York Comic Con.
Now, do you guys have Twitters, Facebooks, anything where people
can find? We have a Facebook page. You go to Decayed Minds at Facebook. When you do it, you have to put a capital D and a capital M.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's and then we have a website. It's the same way, Decayed Minds.
Yep.
But right now we're in the middle of reconstructing the whole site.
Well, we don't know when we're going to get around to posting this anyway, so it might already be done by the time.
Yeah, exactly. But it is www.thecaveminds.com.
Awesome.
So it's easy to get to.
Awesome, guys. Well, hey, thank you so much. Looking forward to getting all of our listeners involved in what you guys are doing, and wish you the best of luck. And it's time to go party some more.
Thanks very much, Drunk on Comics. You guys are awesome. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, so hopefully you guys enjoy those as much as we enjoy doing them.
Yeah, I love talking to the creators, and it's nice that we mixed a couple media guests in here in these last three rounds.
And it was so nice, too, that they were just very welcoming of us. They answered our questions, even our zany ones sometimes, and they just seem like really nice, genuine people.
Yeah, that's always fun, so... we will have more interviews coming up. We've got some in the works, which can't really let the cat out of the bag on who we've got up. There's going to be some in there that you guys are definitely going to want to listen to. So make sure you stick around and keep your eyes peeled on the site and check those out.
Yep, and stay tuned because once we get done talking this, we have a very special part of this, which was a drunken interviewee with each other. I don't know how you'd say it.
A drunken interviewee with each other?
Yeah. We were just drunk at the after party, and we decided to record ourselves.
Well, it's because we started getting into a great conversation and went, we gotta record this.
So hopefully you guys get a few laughs as much as we did re-listening to it.
Oh, and as much as we did recording it.
Yes.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
All right. It's on.
No, Smurfs was the best cartoon ever.
No, man. Nintendo, it's a cereal. Wow!
What?
Hey, guys, if you're listening to this, this is like the Marvel After All the Credits Are Over special edition tag on to the end of our Motor City podcast. So,
or something.
Thank you.
No, this is like shawarma.
This is better than shawarma. This is Kevin Can't Talk.
No.
So we were talking.
Going back. Okay, man. You guys don't know what that's from?
Yeah. I'm assuming it's a commercial.
It's a commercial. Do you remember what that's from? No. Okay. Okay. It was the Nintendo Power cereal.
I remember that.
Yeah, Legend of Zelda.
From a history book.
What are you talking about? You never read a book that didn't have a picture in it. So what were we talking about? We were talking about Saturday morning cartoons, which is like Smurfs. Yeah. Oh, by the way, fuck the Smurfs, because Smurfs 2 is coming out, and the Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy song, they remade with I'm too Smurfy for my love.
Smurfy.
Too Smurfy for my love. Too Smurfy.
I'm pretty sure that movie came out like years ago.
Smurfs 2.
Smurfs 2, Electric Smurfs Boogaloo. It's coming.
Yeah.
How do you know the full title? Kevin's got it already downloaded.
No, it's got Boogaloo Smurf in it.
Did you think that was the actual title?
Yeah.
No. The best thing is Kevin keeps like walking 40 feet away, like our handheld can pick this shit up.
Near.
wherever you are.
Oh, no, no. Yeah.
Hey, hey, it's never too late for a Titanic reference. Why not? Why not?
Well, poor Leo.
This segment is sinking.
So we were talking about awesome cartoons like Thundercats.
Yeah, we were. Why? Well, oh, no, because the battle cry is very epic.
Yeah, Thundercats and Hacksaw Jim Duggan's here. And then we said, you said that.
I want him to say Thundercats.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who else has a nice iconic intro?
Autobots, roll out.
Yeah, oh, that's...
Regulators, mount up.
What? Regulators?
Yeah, like, you know, from Young Guns.
Is it a cartoon?
How about, hey, you, get into my car. Who, me, yes, you, get into my car. Oh, Billy Ocean.
Once again, you talk about shit that no one on this planet has heard of.
Is that an animated cartoon or movie? No,
that's an 80s song, and it was the theme song for the two Corys movie, License to Drive.
Oh, my God, we just watched that the other day. It was awesome.
How's that a catchphrase?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
we're thinking about cartoon catchphrases.
It's entrance music to when they get into my car. Because they're entering my car.
Well, the Smurfing and Smurf that ever smurfed, that's one.
Yeah, so, okay. Anyway, so we were talking. And hey, wedding people coming up while there's a whole bunch of, like, crazy people out here.
They're going to do it.
Pretty damn hot.
Good for him. Yeah, so.
Right, see, they want to do an interview.
Hey.
No, Kevin, please, go on.
No, it's not going to be funny. Nope. No, anything
you
say right now
will
be funny.
Say it.
Say it, bitch. Say it.
Oh, God. Kevin's girlfriend is just jacking him in the crank with her beer bottle.
That sounds so bad. He's jacking him with his crank.
Yeah. But anyway, okay. So now we went from Thundercats to Silverhawks, and you're saying you love Silverhawks.
Yeah, man. I wanted to be a fucking space owl or a space bird. And
what? Don't go walking backwards randomly, Kevin. There's cars.
I'm gonna stay near.
Not far.
Wherever you are.
No, it's...
Near... Yeah, you knew the words. That's why you said them.
Why was I thinking it was far, near, wherever you can hear? I don't know. So, all right. What the fuck was a Silverhawk?
A Silverhawk was a... not mutated, but...
Dude, I'll give you the synopsis. It was a lame cartoon character.
Dude,
that's what it was.
It was a badass cartoon character. That is what I wanted to
be
when I grew
up. It was better than Brave Star.
Sight of the eagle. Strength of a bear.
Speed of the puma.
Puma.
Eyes of the wolf. Yeah.
And heart.
Go planet. Get the planet. Now that was lame.
You know what? As much as it was lame, I'd still watch it. I don't know.
I did too, but...
But why were they destroying the Earth?
I wanted
why are they
to
polluting
have...
it? I don't get
why,
it.
Why did the one guy look like a pig?
Because he was Sloth. The bad guys, actually, from what I heard, were Seven Deadly Sins, I guess-ish, and how they polluted. I don't know. That's getting a little too philosophical for me, but I wanted fucking fire, man. I'd hate to have one of those other power rings and be like... I can talk to a monkey. Yay,
yeah,
heart.
Well, yeah, but Trini always sucks. So, the Yellow Ranger.
Yeah. I don't even know if that was... Yeah, no, she was
the Yellow Ranger.
I know who the fuck Trini was, yeah. But what she didn't have to do...
Save the tiger!
Yeah, that's better than Mastodon, I guess. They were two tigers. Mastodon.
Snuffle up, I guess. I don't know.
Boom, boom with the bridesmaids.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be great.
Anyway,
we might have to do another recording later with the wedding party.
Yeah. All right. So, are we done?
Yes.
for now, to for be now. Continued. Yeah. Just like at the end of cartoons, when you'd be like, fuck, it's a two-parter or a four-parter.
Yeah.
Oh, no. See, that's what I love about. This is the only time we're going to actually say My Little Pony in the podcast ever. Is that there was an 8-episode epic series back in the early 90s.
There's no such thing as an epic My Little Pony series.
What the fuck do you know about this? You're a brony?
No.
And you never let us know?
No, okay.
No, I'm a clomper.
So
is that a closet Kevin, brony?
Kevin, oh God, the clompers. Stop with the clompers. Tell us about the story arc.
How badass was it?
No, okay, like, give the listeners, like a 30-second story.
Oh, okay. Let me step into my time machine. How many years ago was this? Like, 15 plus years ago? And I remember it was very long. And the one thing I do remember is that there was this epic journey with the ponies and the girl Megan. Or is it Megan? I don't know. But there was always the girl in the overalls.
Wait, there was a human in that?
Yeah, no, there was two. There was, I think, Megan, and then there was her sister.
Rainbow Bright?
Were they lesbians?
She had rainbows.
So, yes?
Yeah. And the only thing I remember is, like, there was obviously an epic conclusion to an epic series.
Well, yeah, because it was epic.
Epic. Is that the ponies, and I think this probably was like around episode 5 or 6 or so, they got trapped in a big, huge honeycomb, and that was a cliffhanger.
Did one of them die?
Were you sad?
Maybe. Were you high?
No, this is like 11,
wait,
12.
You watched that sober?
Yeah.
Ish.
Dude, sober-ish. I mean, come on, this is when cartoons were not very readily available. I was ready to digest anything.
Okay,
at this
what?
Time.
Okay, what? What's
like
what's,
He-Man?
What is your favorite terrible cartoon? Like, cause there's a lot.
Well,
of them.
Okay. Do you guys remember? There was a, on Saturday mornings there was a Garfield show with a
Garfield another, and Friends.
Heathcliff. Yeah, Garfield and Friends.
And when they did the fucking Lauren. Farm,
I love Heathcliff.
G.A. Acres or
yes,
actually.
I hated that.
Everyone really hated that, but honestly.
Wait, is that the one that had, like, the little sheep and the little pig something like that?
But honestly, yeah, for the most part, it was not very good. But there were so many really great, memorable moments of that show that people need to retrieve and go look at.
Like Orson from, like, Animal Farm?
Orson.
Yeah.
Orson from Animal Farm.
Totally referenced that.
His name
is Orson, and the pig.
And that's an anal story? What?
Animal Farm, Orson Welles.
Anal pig sex? What?
I'd have to say my worst, but I still find it kind of awesome. The Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Oh my god, dude! I watched it on Netflix. That was
yeah.
Tough.
No, it was on Netflix, and my nephew. I was watching him the other day. And I was like, just flip through Netflix for something for him in the background. I'm watching him play with the electrical outlets and shit. It comes on, and he starts dancing to the music. Like, he stops what he's doing.
Stop what you're doing?
Swing your arms from side to side. Come on, it's time to do the Mario. Take one step, and then again. Come on, time to do the Mario. And Milo starts just like, well, he doesn't swing his arms, but he kind of just starts hopping up and down. And I was like, man, this brings me back to childhood. And then when that song was over, he started playing with the electrical outlet again. But
I have something.
Matt, don't listen to this.
I have something. Oh, I just caught that. I have something that has nothing to do with any of this.
What?
Okay, so Tony did a really good Bobcat Goldthwait impression on the podcast today. And so we want you to do Bobcat Goldthwait doing a Bill Cosby impersonation.
All right, got to get in the character. I don't know if I like the pudding puffs. Dad Theodore.
I think that's better than your normal Bill Cosby.
All right, dude, you gotta stop that. You gotta stop that, man. Your head is about to explode.
I can do other impressions.
Like?
I don't know. Ask me and I will do it.
Okay, do Papa Smurf.
Why, Gargamel is gonna come get us, my Smurf.
That's just you saying Smurf shit.
Let's try something else.
Do Owen Wilson. Like Wedding Crashers and...
My brother is a better actor than me.
starts...
Who else you got? I will make this happen. Many voices.
Well, all right, do an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation.
You have to say words. You just can't do grunting.
You can't go, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. I was governor of California. You can't do that. They're like,
I'll be back. I am the Terminator. Is John Connor here? I want booze.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm from Austria.
I just all of a sudden had a realization.
I like to weightlift. There's a wedding here.
Okay, I just had a realization that...
That chick is hot.
Terminator 2.
The one that's teething?
Yeah, the one that's teething? What?
Ew.
Okay, I just had a realization that that John Connor's...
You mean the movie that I star in?
Yeah, the second one. That John Connor's foster mom in that was the badass Marine chick from Aliens.
Really? Sigourney Weaver?
No.
No.
The badass Marine chick.
In Aliens. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, she was hardcore.
Yeah, I just put that, I've never realized that before. But
I can do my Sigourney Weaver.
Okay.
Yeah, but how many other actors can you name from that movie?
Why, God, these damn dirty aliens. I can't think of a line from it.
No, man. Game over, man. Oh, I don't know any actors' names. I just remember that.
Bill Paxton, isn't it?
From Alien or Aliens?
Zzz.
Aliens. Zzz. Zzz. Lance Henriksen. He played Bishop, the android.
Oh.
Yeah, and Bill Paxton was in that one. Which is weird because Bill Paxton, badass Marine chick, and Lance Henriksen all were in an awesome vampire movie called Near Dark. Came out, I think, 84.
Okay.
So it was like a reunion, or whichever one was a reunion. One was a prequel.
It is Viggo, the Carpathian! Hi, yes, I take care of it. Do you want to go get dinner or something?
Is that your Super Mario impersonation?
No, it's the caretaker from Ghostbusters 2. You know, the one that gets, he's like, Viggo.
I thought it sounded like Super Mario.
It's a me, a Mario. I like Italian.
And the pudding pops.
The pudding pops with the pepperoni flavor.
Oh, my God, that's disgusting.
No, it's not.
Chocolate and pepperoni together at last.
Theodore likes it.
Pepperoni pudding? Oh, all right. I'm done. I need another beer.
All right.
All right, guys.
I am Stanley. Excelsior.
All right, that's it.
Hulk smash. I can do other comic book characters.
Okay.
Why did you cut your penis?
I was about ready. I was trying to get into character.
What? Okay.
That involves a penis clutch. Right.
What superhero grabs his crank?
Deadpool.
I can see. Oh yeah, I can see him.
Yeah, I was thinking Deadpool. I don't know. I was trying to think of a comic book character that doesn't speak. I'd be good at that.
That'd be your best impression.
It's all the right. Impressions that I get.
All right, I'm gonna time travel, and it's time for a little doom bot. Doom bot. Doom bot. Doom bot. Doom bot. Doom bot. Yeah, yeah.
No, I fucking hate you guys and your time travel. Because only I time travel. I will go get John Connor.
Alright, I'm done.
No, you are terminated.